Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We start this third hour of the fifth to last day of this NBA regular season live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid with a ton of injury updates to bring you around the NBA and a forecast of what it means for the future and those future prices in the NBA playoffs. This is our third and final hour. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We thank you for joining us all morning long here on the Spiz Grizz Network. The Bucks get a big win last night at home, snapping a four-game losing skid. They knock off the Boston Celtics. Milwaukee closed as a 3.5-point home favorite. They were a dog earlier on Tuesday afternoon. They cover a number. They win by double digits against the Celtics, the NBA's best team. It should only be optimism in the state of Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning. It is not. Giannis Antetokounmpo exits the game early in the third quarter. It is a calf strain. That is what the injury is being called. His timetable, about a week or two. So we asked the public multiple times this morning, how is the outlook for Milwaukee with a healthy Giannis this postseason? And most of the public, DRS, saying about 46% of the public, in fact, that Giannis and the Bucks only get to the second round.
And it makes sense here. But also, like, I'm trying to now take a look at which, if we can have multiple polls, that means we're going to be able to vote different times here. I voted second round. I want to take that vote back here on this next look through. And the reason why is the first round matchup is going to be a very tough one, whether it be the Heat, let's just say, or the Philadelphia 76ers. So if they win that, I actually think they get an easier round and matchup in round number two, which means they probably should get to the conference finals. So I think I want to change mine here to, I should have went first round in the first poll and conference finals in the second poll as we welcome in the radio audience. You're watching and listening live to the Early Line Wednesday morning edition. Donnie Wrightside and Ben Stevens, Sirius XM channel 159. So how about that? If I get two votes, it's first or conference finals. But if I just truly get the one vote here, I guess I got to say conference finals, because if Giannis is healthy, which what the question is, they probably still should beat the Sixers and or the Miami Heat in round number one, which means they'll probably wind up playing the Celtics. So conference finals for me.
So the NBA playoffs officially begin on April 20th. Our play-in tournament dates are next week. Regular season ends on Sunday, just 5 days out. So a week or two, that is right around April 20th. And Milwaukee's first round test might not just be a team that stumbles out of the play-in and into the postseason. It could be the Heat. It could be the Sixers. It could even be a Pacers team that has hammered Milwaukee throughout this regular season, including in that in-season tournament way back in December. Very uncertain waters right now for the Bucks. And a calf injury is not just, all right, stubbed his toe, he's back in 5 days. It could be very up in the air. And, of course, it was the injury to Giannis in the opening round last year that led to the Bucks losing in a gentleman's sweep against Miami as the one seed in the Eastern Conference to the 8 seed, the Heat. Milwaukee has had a tumultuous regular season, 48-31, despite the addition of Damian Lillard this offseason and a new head coach in Adrian Griffin, who was fired before the All-Star break. Glenn Doc Rivers takes over. It has not been easy for Doc. Milwaukee has still lost 6 of their last 8 games, despite the win yesterday at home against Boston. 5-1 price to win the Eastern Conference. That's over $2 more than what it was yesterday. And now that number has gotten worse on this Wednesday morning. It's plus 550. You can see what the odds makers, DRS, are saying about Milwaukee's outlook with Giannis's status a little bit up in the air. And it means that Philadelphia's number, the Sixers, have won 6 straight games. Joel Embiid is back and healthy. Philly trying to claw its way out of the play-in tournament. It maybe grab that 6th seed in the Eastern Conference. Philly now the 3rd best price, $2 of positive market movement at plus 750.
Here's what you're going to get the benefit of here for Milwaukee. Number one, they're probably going to get that number 2 seed. And if they don't, let's just say they fall back to 3 or 4. It's not that big of a deal for Milwaukee because, again, you're only worried about really taking on the Boston Celtics. If you're healthy, you still should be the 2nd best overall team in the East. But if we're trying to take a look and say, well, how can this be to an advantage for the Bucks in a situation where Giannis is banged up? Well, you're not supposed to find the silver lining, but there is. Round number 1 of the playoffs, Ben, takes an extremely long time. Like, I talk about it every year. It's like, okay, let's get through this first round. It's like, man, if we played a whole month, we're not even through the first round of the playoffs, because it feels like these teams are playing every 3rd to 4 nights, as opposed to on, obviously not back-to-backs, but you're going to play on a Monday, Wednesday, and a Friday. You might play on a Monday, then not play again till Friday of that week, because you try to get every single game on television, and that's what happens. So if you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, that could be to an advantage. Let's just say their playoff starts on a Friday night, their first game. They don't play again to a Tuesday. That's massive for rest and recovery for Giannis Antetokounmpo and that calf injury that Chase should have. But having said that, if this is going to be a lingering calf issue, there's no way the Bucks are going to be able to compete. They're already not playing great basketball with Doc Rivers as their head coach, and that was with Giannis pouring in 35 and 20 every single night, it felt like. If he's not available, good luck winning in the playoffs, specifically, again, in the first round, where you're going to get a heavyweight fight right out of the gate, and that's where that calf is probably going to be at its most tender spots.
It also made the price for Boston to win the East even better. The Celtics have been an odds-on favorite for the past 2.5 weeks. Now Boston to win the Eastern Conference crown is minus 175. We thought it was Boston and then everybody else in the Eastern Conference before this injury to Giannis. That is what the odds makers certainly believe. Now, I do believe Philly is in a prime position, but we'll talk about those standings a little bit later on into this 3rd and final hour. How about Karl Anthony Towns? Big news for Minnesota just dropped in the last 10 to 15 minutes. He had been cleared for basketball activities earlier this morning, and now Shams Charania of FanDuel TV and The Athletic is reporting that Cat is expected to return for one of the T-Wolves' final 3 regular season games. Huge one tonight in Denver for that top spot in the Western Conference against the Nuggets. Is he going to be back tonight? There's a possibility, or Friday at home against Atlanta, Sunday at home against the Phoenix Suns in the regular season finale. Huge news, though, for Minnesota in maybe their postseason positioning before the playoffs begin, and of course, their overall postseason outlook.
Sounds like a fine's coming here for the Minnesota Timberwolves. As we know, the Philadelphia 76ers got a $100,000 fine because we don't know if this is official. He comes back tonight. The overnight line was 6. It's now dropped to 5 as a favorite for the Denver Nuggets. So he could actually play tonight. So watch out for that spread. And also, if anybody gets any news that he missed shoot around, don't take that, or should I say take it, with a grain of salt, because that means he probably is going to play tonight, because that's exactly what happened with Joel Embiid when he was looking to come back for the Sixers. Missed shoot around, announced out, upgraded the questionable, plays in that game that night. It's going to be a wild spread throughout the day to keep an eye on between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets, but great news here to get Karl Anthony Towns back even before the playoffs so you can ramp up.
So Denver and Minnesota right now tied for the top spot in the Western Conference standings. However, Minnesota's price to win the West, plus 750. The Nuggets, the reigning champs, the shortest number in the Western Conference at plus 155. Daily Basis, Craig Mitch up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Daily Basis, live right here on this Wednesday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben. Donnie's on the right side and the man in the middle. Our Major League Baseball insider and the host of Newswire, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time, he is Craig Mish. Craig, thank you for joining us here on this Wednesday on the early line. Tomorrow is the official two-week date from the start of the Major League Baseball season, at least the full start on opening day, just under 2 weeks ago. We get your early thoughts on the early goings in MLB.
Yeah, looking forward to it. A couple of teams have sort of established themselves here at the beginning of the season. Pretty much everybody else playing 500 ball for the most part. So we're off to, I think, an intriguing start in April, and not a lot of teams separating themselves from the top, although unfortunately there is one team at the bottom that's sort of separating themselves. But we won't go there.
Yeah. No, we don't need to really look at the Marlins much right now. Craig, we got your thoughts on the Fish last week, but a 1-11 start for Miami. More optimism. We'll go there first with the Baltimore Orioles. Victorious yesterday in Boston. Baltimore, last year's number one overall seed in the American League, off to a 6-4 start. Corbin Burnes, in his Baltimore opening starts, looks very good. And good news for the O's yesterday, Jackson Holliday, the number one prospect in the sport, is being called up by Baltimore, the son of longtime big leaguer Matt Holliday. And Craig, on Newswire, at the end of March, you spoke with the Orioles GM, Mike Elias, and asked him about Jackson Holliday. What is the expectation for baseball's best prospect joining a young and fun Baltimore club?
Yeah, immediately I think that's the kind of thing that the clubhouse will be energized with, seeing him come up. There's no question that he is ready. I think you can make the case he has a lot of teammates in the minor leagues that appear ready too, but there are only so many spots that the Orioles have available. But this is as fast a rise offensively as you would see from a player that's gone from high school to the minor leagues to the big leagues. And I think 2 weeks in, it's fair to say at this point with not a lot of data that he still has a really good shot to win the American League Rookie of the Year. Remember when we were talking about that before the season began, Wyatt Langford was a favorite just because he started the season in the big leagues. And boy, wouldn't you like to have a Holliday ticket right now? There's still a lot of games to play. And look, we'll see what happens. This is, you never know what can happen with a young player immediately. They could go a number of different directions. But as far as the talent is concerned, Ben, as you said, the most talented offensive player without a doubt coming up.
Yeah, that's good stuff here. I love the fact that they're bringing up players early here, not worrying about waiting till them get free agents. If they can help your ball club right away, bring them up. So maybe a changing of the guard in Baltimore, which, by the way, taking on the Red Sox here, the Red Sox had a pretty good start to the season along with Baltimore. They're going to tee it up again tonight at 7 p.m. up in Boston. Colt Irvin, the lefty, will be on the mound going up against Cutter Crawford. This line, roughly a pick 'em across the board. Two teams playing good baseball here early in the season. What can we look forward to tonight, Craig, from these two?
Yeah, probably a lot of offense. I mean, these are not going to be the two best pitchers that the Orioles and the Red Sox are going to throw out all season long. Total is 9. We haven't really gotten to the point in the season where many pitchers are going beyond 5-6 innings. We're starting to see a little bit more of that. But generally speaking, it's 5-and-dive time in April in Major League Baseball. So, look, I would expect that. But the one thing, again, on a Wednesday is you always have to check lineups. You never know who's going to be in there, and players who have played since the beginning of the season are going to get days off too. So before anything is done, that's my highest recommendation. Look at the lineups before the game.
And Craig mentioned it. Jackson Holliday, now the second best price to win the AL Rookie of the Year award, only behind Texas's Wyatt Langford. It is 3-1 for Holliday, plus 260 for Langford. Over under on the home run total this year for Holliday, 11.5. To hit a home run in his big league debut today in Fenway Park, it's plus 680. To record a hit, minus 220. Minus 220. That offensive prospect now in the bigs for Baltimore. Craig, everybody in the American League East at this moment, all five clubs at 500 or better. That includes the Toronto Blue Jays. At home today, a slight underdog, but a virtual pick'em against the Mariners. The M's off to just a 4-8 start this year. It's a virtual pick'em up in Toronto. Who gets the victory?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously a game like this, you would think that at some point Seattle is going to just start winning games. I mean, this was a team projected potentially to get to the postseason. And I think as we go, Ben, this is a team we're going to have to keep an eye on because I would guess there'll be some impatient fans, maybe an impatient organization. The Mariners cannot afford to be an 85-90 loss team this season. They have postseason aspirations. So would a shakeup come, players or anything else? Still way too early to say that, but a 4-8 start, as you mentioned, not great. Again, this is one of those games to me today that's more or less a stay away. When I look at the month of April, what I'm trying to do, honestly, Ben, at this point, is trying to find my plus 150s, my plus 160s, realizing that these teams that are winning in April are not going to be winning in May, June, July, August, and September. To me, this is the most unpredictable month of the year, April and September. Don Mattingly, the former manager of the Marlins, he said that these months will make you look really foolish thinking you know who's going to win. So I go off that.
Absolutely. Taking those dogs, plus 160, plus 170. Craig, how about I can purchase you a plus 200 ticket today at the FanDuel Sportsbook if you want to back the Chicago White Sox taking on the Cleveland Guardians today. Uh-oh. Tanner Bibee on the mound versus Eric Fetty. Are we laying the minus 245 or taking the plus 200 here early in April?
Yeah, it's that time of the year, Donnie. I would advocate it. This is something where you can take your chances here this time of the year. The White Sox show up for one day. They may not be interested in doing it later in the year, you know, at least for the time being. And again, a game like this, what you want to look at is who's going to be closing games for these teams in the end. Kopech seems to be, you know, getting the job done and moving to the bullpen right now for the White Sox. He pitched well yesterday to get a save, so... If I was going to go one way, it definitely would be taking the plus just because, again, I think anything can happen this time of the month. I really don't put a lot of stock into it. So I guess go Pale Host today.
Listen, the White Sox, second win of the year yesterday for Chicago, who, despite just a 2-9 start, I've said this a few times, not bad on the run line. 6-5 for the White Sox to begin this season. Okay. We go now to the National League Central. Hey, listen, that's not bad. National League Central time in Cincinnati. The Reds taking on the Brewers. Cincy a minus 130 home money line favorite, like the American League East. Craig, everybody in the NL Central, 500 or better. What do you make of this matchup today in Cincy?
Yeah, again, it would be plus for me. But the one thing that I'd want to do just to be sure is make sure that Christian Yelich is playing because he's out of this world right now, playing like the MVP that he was several years ago. OPS over 1,000 has been a one-man show for the Brewers, so to speak. They've gotten some really good performances also from some unheralded players. A lot of people probably have never heard the name Bryce Turang or Blake Perkins. These guys are batting at the bottom of the Brewers lineup, and they're performing. Should we be surprised, guys? Probably not. The Brewers are a great organization. They find players, and they find ways to get it done. Takes nothing away from the Reds, who are you know clearly going to be a very good team this year, better than they have been in years past. But to me, until the Reds sort of impose their will on Milwaukee, I still would run with the Brewers.
Phillies and the Cardinals here. Yesterday we saw the debut of Sonny Gray for the Cardinals. He was really good yesterday, Craig. 5 innings pitched, no earned runs. Zach Wheeler was good in itself. 7 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, but the Phillies couldn't plate any runs here to give him any assistance for Wheeler in a 3-0 victory for the Cardinals. You take a look at Aaron Nola versus Lance Lynn today, minus 138 favorite here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Phillies bounce back. Did the bats come back today? Or St. Louis with Lance Lynn gets another victory?
You know, it's possible. You know, the Phillies last night, unfortunately, JT Realmuto had an injury. He got hit in the throat with the ball. I think he's okay, but Donnie, I don't know that he would play in a game after that. So you're already minus one of your best players there. I probably would look toward an under here. Maybe some he's off for some players potentially, and again, backup catchers going at it today.
7.5, that total under the arch. 6-day baseball games on this Wednesday, and we appreciate Craig Mish's time here on the daily basis. Newswire starts in less than 40 minutes. Again, 11 a.m. Eastern time, live right here on the grid. We set the stage for Wednesday around the association. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
8 games around the association on this Wednesday. Just 5 more days left in the regular season. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, regular season finale day on Sunday, all around the NBA. And the marquee matchup on this Wednesday night is at altitude between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. Earlier on this Wednesday morning here on TEL, just a 6-point spread in favor of the Nuggets. But that number is working back to Minnesota after the news that we shared at the top of this hour that Karl Anthony Towns, who was cleared for basketball activity, might actually play tonight. Just a 5-point spread now in favor of the Nuggets, over under 213.5. Let's just talk about what is at stake here, DRS, even outside of the numbers and the odds between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. Both teams tied for the top spot in the Western Conference standing, and they face off tonight with a game that could be vitally important to determining who wins that number one seed in the Western Conference.
Love it. Both teams with 55 wins, both teams with 24 losses here. You take a look at playing well down the stretch. 8 of their last 10 games, the Minnesota Timberwolves have won. 7 of the past 10 games, the Denver Nuggets have won. Now, if we're taking a look at the anticipated starting lineups coming up tonight, Jamal Murray expected to be in the lineup for the Denver Nuggets, along with KCP, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, and also Nikola Jokic. So full gas for them. The questions are going to be for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, originally listed, it's Connolly, Edwards, McDaniels, Reed, and Gobert as the starting lineup, but as we said, just getting those updates that it could be tonight. I always find this a little bit interesting where, like, you're waiting for, like, the past couple weeks, when is he coming back? Now, granted, not being a Minnesota Timberwolves fan where I'm just reading beat reports every single day, doesn't feel like, Ben, it was a little bit of a surprise because we were asking the questions before that news came out. Is he coming back? Do we have any news? Is it round one? Is it the next couple games? And then you get a Woj bomb that goes, yeah, he might be able to play tonight here, so get ready and see if he does. I don't know if he plays tonight, but if he does, it'll be interesting to see how many minutes he plays. So for me, I'm not looking at him to be a big impact, even if he does. But if we counter that point, it's he's not coming back into the lineup because he's almost, and they just want to get him out there. He's coming back into the lineup means he's ready to play, like Joel Embiid played close to 30 minutes his first game back from a similar knee injury. If he plays tonight, that line is going to change. We already saw, Ben, the sixes overnight moves to fives here in anticipation. We'll see where it goes the rest of the day. But this is great news for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it couldn't come at a bigger moment. If he is going to play and he's eligible to play, don't you want him to play in this game tonight? Be interesting to see if it does work out.
Really good point as well, DRS. He's not out here to get some burn against a Charlotte Hornets team. He is going to enter his first game if he plays tonight against the Denver Nuggets in a game that very well could determine who is the number one overall seed in the Western Conference playoffs. After tonight, both Denver and Minnesota will only have 2 more games remaining this year, and there could be some jostling, but the winner is going to have a leg up on the other. Oklahoma City, a game behind both of these teams, who both enter tonight with the same record at 55-24. And both teams in action last night. Minnesota at home, nearly an 18-point favorite against the Washington Wizards. They win by nearly double digits. Anthony Edwards goes off for 51. They do not cover. Denver was on the road in Salt Lake against the Utah Jazz, and the Nuggets absolutely hammer the Jazz, I believe covering as a 15.5-point favorite, winning by 16, 111-95. Now, the Timberwolves as a dog this year, one of the best around the association, 12-8 against the spread, 10 of those 12 victories, an outright win. However, DRS, when you look at Denver, the best record at home in the Western Conference, 32-8. And when you're playing for home floor advantage, even if Karl Anthony Towns returns, I look at the Nuggets and would lay the points.
Yes, because you're taking a look at that pedigree, right? This is an example of what we can look forward to in the NBA playoffs. This is the ultimate home court advantage for the Denver Nuggets. This is as close to a championship game as you are going to get in the regular season, which could decide if you get the number one overall seed, which means that Western Conference goes directly through the Denver Nuggets. They're the healthier team lining up because we don't know if Karl Anthony Towns is going to play today. So you would think with all the marbles on the line, with a team in the Minnesota Timberwolves, we're hoping has a good playoff run. We already know the Denver Nuggets are all about it because they did raise a banner for their organization as an NBA champion this past year. So I'm with you on that. Karl Anthony Towns plays or doesn't play, I lean with the pedigree here for the Denver Nuggets. As long as we're getting Jamal Murray included in that starting lineup with Nikola Jokic, I'll go that way as well. You take the pedigree in these games. They expect to win it, and I do believe they will.
And both did play last night, but only the Joker at the moment has a points prop listed. Both Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray scored 28 on the road in Salt Lake. Another way to maybe look at it, plus 185 for Jokic to record a triple-double in a big game to play and perform. We expect that out of who will be the MVP this year. Big game tonight. Man, that's been a story for the Phoenix Suns here down the home stretch. But it's another big one after two disastrous losses over the last 3 days. Sunday against the Pels, they lose outright as a home favorite. Last night, 9.5-point home favorite against the Clippers without James Harden or Kawhi Leonard. They lose outright by double digits. They were down by 31 points in the first quarter. I didn't know that could happen in an NBA game. Maybe UConn versus Stetson, but not the Suns in a must-win game against the Clippers. Because of these two consecutive losses, Phoenix has fallen out of the top six into the seventh seed. It would be a play-in tournament opener to the postseason for the Suns. Same two teams, change of venue. From the Valley to Southern California. Downtown Los Angeles, the Suns, though, still booked as a 4.5-point road favorite. It was 3.5 earlier on this Wednesday morning. Are we doing it to ourselves? We were both out on Phoenix after the disaster last night at home. Are we bought back in for a must-win game on this Wednesday?
It looks like the public's bought back in because that overnight line at the FanDuel Sportsbook actually showed a -2.5-point favorite for Phoenix, and now we do see the 4.5, so everybody falling hook, line, and sinker once again for the Suns. Keep in mind, like, the Clippers are coming home. We're anticipating getting back into the lineup, James Harden. So let's just say if Paul George does play, that's actually a better version of the team we even got last night that went on the road and smoked the Phoenix Suns. And this is the NBA, let's keep in mind. Yes, it is a back-to-back, so we're still anticipating as if we're going to get Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal in the lineup. Don't be surprised later on in the day if one or if not two of those guys is sitting out, even though it's a meaningful game. The NBA has been known to tell us, we don't care as long as we're in the playoffs healthy what our seeding actually is, even though the magnitude of this game is huge for the standings to try to get out and climb out of that play-in round. We'll see what happens, but I'm not buying into the Suns here at a -4.5. Let's see who's actually playing in this game tonight before we make a decision.
Second leg of a back-to-back in a different venue for both of these teams, although the familiarity factor is there. Total of 226. Phoenix has played 25 games since February 13th. They've been under an 18 of 25, including last night with a woeful 92 points. I would lean under 226. There is no better team right now in the NBA, at least at this current juncture, than the Dallas Mavericks, with all due respect to the Boston Celtics. The Mavs have won 15 of their last 17 games, a 3.5-point road favorite on the road tonight in South Beach against Miami. Both teams, second leg of a back-to-back, but Dallas has been on the road. Miami now goes from Atlanta back home after a double overtime game. A huge game for Miami trying to get out of the play-in tournament. The Mavericks clinched a playoff spot last night, but maybe trying to improve their seed line. They're two games out from behind LA. Motivation will be a factor tonight in Miami.
Yeah, I don't want to try to read into this line, but it's kind of interesting where the Dallas Mavericks actually opened up overnight as a -1-point favorite and now sit at a 3.5-point favorite. If you're looking and just going by teams that need to win this basketball game, it's a little bit more on the Heat side than in this Mavericks side, as Ben just pointed out, clinching a playoff spot, but you have leeway on both sides there where it's not like, hey, if we don't play our starters tonight and we lose this game, we might be the odd out here and getting into that 6th, 7th, or 8th spot here. That's not going to be the case for the Dallas Mavericks. They're comfortably in their seed line where they are now. The Miami Heat certainly are not, fighting tooth and nail to get out of that play-in round, and we'll see if they can do it. You know what? I'll fall for this, because usually when that line moves, that means the odds makers are getting a whiff of maybe Tyler Hero doesn't play tonight or Jimmy Butler. But again, we're at a disadvantage handicapping these games in the morning. I'll take the Miami Heat with the 3.5. I just think the game means more to them, which means can you afford to rest some of those starters? And the same thing with the Mavericks. We going full gas tonight? I don't know.
Right. It's a two-game difference right now. If we follow the odds, if the Clippers lose at home tonight and the Mavericks win, only one game separates these two teams that are going to see each other more than likely in the 4-5 matchup. But we could be talking at a change of home floor advantage for that opening round of the postseason. Again, Dallas has won four straight covering in all four. They've won 15 of their last 17, covering in 15 of their previous 17 as well. Big game tonight in Milwaukee. We do not expect Giannis to be out there. Orlando on the road after suffering a loss on the road yesterday to Houston. The Magic, a slight one-point favorite against the Bucks. No Giannis in the Bucks, a home dog, but just 8 cents of difference in the money line prices. What gives tonight inside the Fizer Forum?
Yeah, if we look at that number, right, 212.5 actually rising to 215.5. No Giannis in that game. We know the Orlando Magic don't really play an up-tempo style. The game really important, actually, for both of these teams included. So I'm going to step aside from the side itself, and I'm going to look to the under 215.5. I think you get one of those games where one of these teams doesn't actually get to 100 tonight. How about that?
Yeah. It feels like a funky moment where Milwaukee rallies tonight. But I do think this is huge for Orlando because Magic right now, 4-5 split, they have the advantage over the Cleveland Cavaliers, but both teams 46 and 33. And I just bet the Magic to win their division, the Southeast, at minus 230. Orlando, I need you. This was Mark. John Robson, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This week in the world of sports is sensational. Sunday afternoon, women's NCAA tournament championship game. Monday night, men's NCAA tournament title game. And then starting tomorrow, it's the 2024 Masters at Augusta. And your reminder, SiriusXM is the only place on radio to hear golf's most prestigious event, the Masters. Hear shot-by-shot coverage of the Masters live from Augusta National Golf Club on Masters Radio. That is Sirius XM 92. Sirius XM Channel 92 in the car and on the all-new Sirius XM app. So as March is now in the rear view, and this week in April is here, we welcome on one of our favorite guests. It is John Rothstein. We don't sleep. That's not until May. And, John,
yes, sir,
as you return from Phoenix at the Final Four in the national championship and you heard that lovely Masters read, any thoughts on what happens this week at Augusta?
You know, I am a huge supporter of all the terrific people that work at CBS Sports. I hope we have record-breaking ratings this weekend in Augusta. But if I could offer any commentary, it would be a flat-out lie. I was in a conversation last week, and somebody was filling me in on why the 16th hole is such a critical part of golf. So, Ben, there's only one way to describe this accurately. When it comes to golf coverage, I'm in left field with a hockey stick.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's why you go to SiriusXM. Never play golf. Donnie Wrightside used to be a scratch golfer, but we saved that a different day. But that's why you go
golf,
to SiriusXM.
I've never had a glass of wine. Yeah. I've never had a cup of coffee, and I've never been to Hawaii.
But now he has been to Europe, and that's not always the case. All right, let's look back on the end of this college basketball season and the national championship game that we saw on Monday night out in the desert. For a second consecutive season, Connecticut ends the year a national champ. The first repeat national champions in men's Division I college basketball, John, since Florida accomplished the feat back in 2006 and 07. You've been there for both runs, for Connecticut last year and this year in the NCAA tournament. It is hard to describe all of that with only one word, but John Rothstein, how do you sum up what you have seen out of Dan Hurley's Huskies the past two seasons?
Historical, because it's completely different than other back-to-back national championship runs that we have seen in our lifetime. When Duke won in 91 and 92, Hurley, Leitner, Grant Hill, Thomas Hill, Brian Davis, they're firmly a part of both runs. When Florida won in 06 and 07, Torian Green, Lee Humphrey, Corey Brewer, Al Horford, Joakim Noah, Chris Richard, firmly a part of both runs. That was not the case for UConn. UConn lost to Adama Sanogo, Jordan Hawkins, Andre Jackson, Joey Calcaterra, and Naheem Aline from last year's team that won six NCAA tournament games by an average of 20 points per game. This year, this team of Huskies was much more dominant. I'm not going to say that it was the best team of the modern era, but you have to put it in the conversation in terms of being the best team in the modern era of college basketball.
Take a look at UConn basketball here. We start with Tristan Newton, comes over from East Carolina playing a few years there, then comes over to UConn for 2 years, wins back-to-back championships, the MOP of the tournament, 20 points, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds. Talk to us, John, about Tristan Newton and what he meant to the UConn Huskies here.
The evolution of Tristan Newton at point guard is one of the main reasons why UConn has been so, so good this season. You know, a year ago, Tristan Newton had 8 turnovers in the Final Four. His assist-to-turnover ratio in the NCAA tournament was 31-17, not even 2-1. This year, he was a much different player, an assist-to-turnover ratio of 43-9 in the NCAA tournament. That is almost 5-1, the most outstanding player. And another example, guys, of why, and I've said this for the past couple of years, if you have a situation where you can recruit a productive COVID senior who does not have a lucrative financial opportunity, you need to recruit those players with the same fervor that you recruit a 4- or 5-star prospect. You look at the chemical makeup of UConn's backcourt this year. Tristan Newton, Cam Spencer, 2 5th-year players.
Yeah, absolutely so. Tristan Newton, the leading scorer for the Huskies, by the way, in each of their 2 national championship games the past 2 seasons. Rothstein, of course, we focused on Monday night about the battle of the bigs down low. For Purdue, the 7-4 Zach Edey, the 2-time now reigning National Player of the Year winner against Donovan Clingan on the other side. And the stats do not lie. Zach Edey had a tremendous effort on Monday night in Phoenix. 37 points in 10 boards, but it was very clear that in the game, they were not going to double Zach Edey. They were going to take away the rest of what the Boilermakers had to offer, and Dan Hurley said as much in his post-game press conference after UConn's second consecutive national championship. How did you describe what you saw in the Battle of the Bigs on Monday night?
Well, the game plan for UConn was pretty much to let Zach Edey produce as he's produced throughout the NCAA tournament, but take away everybody else. So in UConn's perspective, I thought that the game plan was executed to a T. Look, Donovan Clingan did not have the statistical game that would have turned heads if you were just looking at a POC score, but I thought he did a very, very nice job defensively, and I thought UConn's ability to try and distort Zach Edey in the low post about midway through the first half was ultimately what led to UConn breaking open the game and getting a double-digit victory.
We take a look, John. UConn on the season, 37-3 overall. Their tournament odds preseason were 22-1. Their pre-tournament odds, I should say, at a +370 price. They were sensational all the way through, but I think is even more incredible was the run that they've had, John, the last 2 years through the tournament. Absolutely dominant. And you take a look at any off night that you can have, you can get knocked out because you're playing great teams on a night-to-night basis here. How was UConn able to be so dominant the past 2 seasons and basically run teams off the court?
Well, I'm going to take it to a different level right now, Donnie. Think about this for a second. In non-conference play during the past 2 years, UConn is a whopping 33-1. The one defeat is a 4-point loss against Kansas at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. Cam Spencer missed a 3 late in that game when UConn was down 2. And Steph Castle, the 5-star freshman, did not play in that game for UConn. So it is a historical run by Dan Hurley, who right now is unequivocally, you know, the best coach in the sport.
33-1 in those 34 non-conference games, including the Big Dance the last 2 years, and all 33 victories by double digits. 29-4-1 against the spread. 12 games in the NCAA tournament the last 2 years, 12 wins for Connecticut, and a perfect 12-0 ATS. So Dan Hurley, as you just said, Rothstein, unequivocally the best coach in the sport at this moment. And what made Monday a tad more interesting was the big news that we got on Sunday. John Calipari leaving Kentucky to go to Arkansas. We'll talk about Cal in Fayetteville, now made official in the last hour in just a moment. But there's been some speculation that Dan Hurley could be in consideration for that open head coaching job in Lexington. I asked the question this way. because Kentucky is a blue blood, but Connecticut has won 6 national championships in the last 25 years. A blue blood, a new blood, a dynasty. It doesn't matter how you describe them. Does college basketball at the moment run through Storrs, Connecticut?
100%. And think about this for a second. In the last 25 NCAA tournaments, Connecticut has won 6 national championships. By my math, that is more than 20%. Look, Connecticut is going to have to step up here and pay Dan Hurley like a top 5 coach in college basketball. Connecticut is going to have to commit the resources so that Dan Hurley is going to be there for the long term, because you have a coach right now at 51 years old that has won back-to-back national championships, that has deep roots in the Northeast, and has made UConn again a formidable focal point at the epicenter of the sport. You know, when I was doing this and started doing this 20 years ago, Ben, the two teams in college basketball that everybody seemed to always look and point their compass towards were UConn and Duke. Now I think UConn has again returned to the top of the sport and is separating himself as itself as unequivocally the best program in college basketball.
We'll take a look at Kentucky here, where they're going to wind up with a head coach and who that might be. But if we just focus on John Calipari at Kentucky, he was very good overall, 410-123, 32-11 in the tournament, 1 national championship. Now, he's going to be graded on those titles because of the high expectations that we anticipated. John Calipari now moving over to Arkansas. What does that mean for the SEC? And also, what are the expectations for Cal over at Arkansas?
The expectations for Cal at Arkansas is to bring Arkansas back to the level that it was under Nolan Richardson, where it made the Final Four in 1990, when it made the Final Four and won the national championship in 1994, when it made the Final Four and lost in the title game to UCLA in 95. That is the expectation now for Arkansas under John Calipari. I mean, he's somebody, again, that I think there was an appetite for change between him and the fans and in the administration at Kentucky, and that's fine. But, you know, one of the things that I think, you know, we need to look at right here is the opposite of this. Now, here I expect here in the next couple of days Kentucky to hire somebody to be in a situation to replace John Calipari. But with that said, the coach who replaces John Calipari at Kentucky is going to have a very, very difficult job to follow.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons that there was somewhat of an idea that Big Blue Nation wanted a new head coach. The $33 million buyout obviously did not lead to a dismissal. Calipari is going to have a 5-year deal worth $7 million annually now in Fayetteville. So there is the seismic shift in college basketball to see Cal now as the head coach of Arkansas. I will say this, as John knows very well, Arkansas did not make the big dance this year, but did make the NCAA tournament the previous 3 under Eric Musselman, and saw the second weekend every year. 2 Elite Eight appearances in 2021 and back-to-back in 2022. But, John, that is the hope for a proud Kentucky program, to see the second weekend. Kentucky has not been to the Sweet 16 since 2019, so it will be a new head coach. And what is that level of expectation now in Lexington?
It's very, very high. It's to get one of the best coaches in the sport, and, you know, we'll be tracking that here for you very closely over the next couple of days.
Yep.
By the way, taking a look here at some of these futures markets that are coming out here. It's never too early for next year to begin for us, John. You take a look at Duke, Kansas, UConn, Alabama, North Carolina, and Houston, all at a 15-1 price or less. Can UConn have a three-peat next year? What are the probabilities of that?
It depends on what they do here in the transfer portal. You know, that's really what's going to dictate how things go for UConn. They got to get a couple of guys here. Guys, Ben, I had something come up here. I got to get off here. I will let you know if I get some news out of this. I have a call I have to take.
Hey, we appreciate that. A breaking news guy at each and every moment. John Rothstein joining us here on this Wednesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. That's why we do not sleep until May, because although the college basketball season is over, the offseason is
Kentucky?
Always beginning.
What could it be, BSS?
I mean,
what could it be?
Listen,
got to be big.
We saw it right there. He was hitting the phone. It's either a really big moment in the transfer portal, or it could be something
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
For the biggest head coaching opening. What? Oh, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Mm.
I don't know if Robbie Avila would cause him to leave the show early. We'll see. We'll very, very soon
Sources.
See, I would believe. That's our sources on the sources. John Calipari, by the way, officially announced at Arkansas, as we were discussing there with John Rothstein, in the last 30 to 35 minutes. A five-year deal worth $7 million annually. That's more, at least based on estimation, than what the buyout was remaining, $33 million in Lexington. That's a big moment. If we get that breaking news update, clip it and show John Rothstein working in the moment to deliver the news. A best bet on this Wednesday. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A best bet comes your way on this Wednesday as we round out our 3 hours together live right here on the Early Line all across the Sports Grid Network. Listen, I'm going to be refreshing the Twitter feed to see what John Rothstein just found out. An electric moment as our breaking news insider joining us here on behalf of FanDuel just got some big bit of news for college basketball. My adrenaline level has spiked, but we'll give you a best bet before we go, before we say farewell, and before we say goodbye. It is time now for Bye Bye Bye. Big Major League Baseball slate on this Wednesday. A ton of day games, six around MLB. And again, just 5 days left in the NBA regular season. Eight-game slate, all of them important for postseason positioning and what happens on those seed lines. DRS, you just shared some breaking news with us. Carl Anthony Towns, although he is expected to return for Minnesota before the end of the regular season on Sunday, is now not expected to play tonight in Denver, correct?
Correct. And also, that line that got locked at the FanDuel Sportsbook, we were talking about a five-point line. It's increased to minus six now based on really where it was last night. So no Carl Anthony Towns tonight, as it looks like that should be different. My best bet today, Ben, I'm going to go with an under, though. We talked about it earlier, the Orlando Magic and the Milwaukee Bucks, 215.5. I'm going to go under, as I stated. One of these two teams I don't think is going to reach 100 here. A playoff sort of atmosphere without Giannis Antetokounmpo, slower down tempo here, under 215.5 for me, Ben.
I'm going to an under as well, under 226 tonight in Los Angeles between the Clippers and the Suns. Phoenix has played 25 games since the middle of February, and they have gone under in 18 of 25. But really the handicap is this. Phoenix needs to win and probably make a statement. And these two teams played each other last night, but in a different venue in the Valley in Phoenix. Second leg of a back-to-back, albeit a critical game, but now in Los Angeles, total stays under 226. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for us today on this Wednesday. Masters Thursday tomorrow, SiriusXM Channel 92. We'll talk to you at 8 a.m. Eastern here on the grid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.